Previously on Adventure. Henley, Thrace, and Julian, you must go to Neverwinter and solve the mystery of his death and find the murderer to discover the location of the second magical item. The dragon is going to, I guess for a lack of a better term, self-destruct almost like a phoenix in 3 hours.
Free drinks to anyone who comes over here and answers their questions.
A gentleman walks up to you. What I saw was tall and skinny and scaly. I saw him having a very heated debate with that group of gnomes.
Leo, have you heard anything about this Riley chap?
He was my number one suspect, honestly, until that story that gentleman told us. You guys want to go see Riley and his group?
Hello, gnomes.
We're not going to rat on any of our people.
Hold his nose!
Every gnome in the place stands up and pulls out a weapon of some kind.
Oh, now we have to leave. Let's just go quick. Quick, quick, quick.
As you look back, you see the gnome with the bow on the roof fall down.
Hey, guys. I sent him to the Goblinicus Gates!
Stewie!
So, we're in this alley, still in the Naga of Neverwinter, and you guys are hanging out next to a building, tall, sort of dilapidated building, when Stewie jumps down next to you, just like before. He's dressed in sort of camouflage outfit. He looks like a kind of like a sniper. He has like this really long... It looks like a sniper rifle, but it's like a bow. So it's like a really long crossbow with a big scope on it. And he has two sets of bullets on the sides. One is red and one is green. And so when he jumps down, he says, "Hey guys, how you doing?"
Stewie.
Hey. Oh, no, thought
I'd be so
happy to see the little bugger again.
So I know you guys said sort of like, "Hey, next time I see you, we're going to kill you or something." But I figured that this was a kind of... a clause in that contract.
No hard
contract.
Feelings, Stewie. Okay. No hard feelings.
Hyperbole. Total hyperbole.
Yeah. It's nice to see a familiar face, even if it's a little, well,
ugly.
Undecided.
I was going to use the word ugly. Is that the word you were going to use, Thrace?
It wasn't Henley. And again, let's have a little discussion about being more subtle, a little more tactful, because...
I'm very grateful for the whole saving our lives thing, but, you know...
Damn, he's ugly. That's what you were going to say?
Only one that a mother could love is all I was going to say.
You guys never change. I know it's only been like 2 weeks, but you guys never change. So what are you guys doing here?
Well, that would be a really long story that's going to take longer to explain than it is for that dragon to explode.
Oh, yeah. There's a dragon that's going to explode. That's what we're doing here.
Everybody here knows that the dragon's going to explode.
Why are you here, Stewie?
So I was on my way back to my home and Goblinville. That's what it's called.
Right. How is that? How's the wife, the kids?
I didn't get back. Cause here's the thing that happened. I was on the way back. I going through Neverwinter because it's the hub. I was gonna take a ship back over. It's a quicker way to go. And when I got here, I noticed some little fellas, these gnomes, flashing some three-pillared coins, and I thought, I should check out what's going on here. So I've been following these guys for the last like week or so, trying to figure out what they're up to.
Did you get a chance to talk to any of them?
No, goblins and gnomes don't really get along. And also, I don't think I'm kind of scared about what my standing is in the organization, because if anybody told anybody, they'd just kill me, and that's not really how Stewie liked to do, you know. So. Okay, keep going.
Stewie, I understand that.
Yeah, I
appreciate it.
They don't like to talk to Henley either. But we're working on that. Right, Henley?
Whatever you say.
Now, Stewie, is there anything you can tell us? Anything you found out?
So what, are you guys have business with the gnomes as well?
Well, we think that they might be involved in a suspicious death.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Where did that death take place?
At an inn.
The Brigand Wall?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're just on top of it, I think.
You guys have this really weird thing where you want information from me, but you don't want to tell me anything.
Stewie, it's fair to say you haven't always been on our side.
I'll cut to the chase. We're at the Brigand Wall Tavern. We're trying to figure out what happened to some bloke who died. And there's a detective. He's investigating. He's helping us out. We're helping him out. We're trying to get... Well, that's not none of your concern, but we're trying to get a thing that he might have found. He was killed there. We thought maybe the goblin. You're a goblin, not a gnome.
No.
My mistake. But
you really can't muddle that up.
No.
Are you? By the way, are you just a very short goblin, or are these very tall gnomes?
That's a weird question to ask
very
me.
Personal question.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. So we've got, what was it, hour 53 before boom boom time?
I think it's an hour 45, actually.
Oh, my watch is a little...
Okay, so let's hurry this conversation along.
Yeah.
So we're trying to find out what's going on with this death, and anything that you might have found out would be very helpful for us.
So are you looking at any gnome in particular? I almost did it there.
There was one called Peter.
I don't know a gnome named Peter.
Peter the gnome.
I think, are you looking for Riley?
Oh, I mean, that's what I meant.
You just pulled Peter out of your ass. Like, the fuck did Peter come from?
It was a five-letter name, and there was an E in it.
Close enough.
I took a shot in the dark.
Well, you guys are in luck, because I've been following Riley for the past 5 days.
I thought he was laid up sick up there.
You can let me get to my explanation of what's going on. I don't know what he's doing. I've never been in his room, man. I'm just going to tell you what's been going on. I'm not the one who told you he was sick. Trying to catch me in a lie. I thought he was sick, huh? That's what that other gnome told me. Riley is very weird behavior for a gnome. He spends most of his time at the library. I track him there every day. He spends hours there. And then basically it's just back to the hideout, and then is usually there for most of the night. He started, you know, he used to like go out a little bit, but the last couple of days, up 2 days ago, he just started spending most of the night indoors. And then yesterday, or 2 days ago, I'm trying to think, when did the last time he left? 2 days ago, was that when your murder occurred?
I guess so.
I think it was 2 days ago.
It was 2 days ago.
He went to the library.
Okay.
Went to this item shop, and then stopped off at the Brick and Wall for just a couple of moments during the day, and then went back, and he hasn't come out since.
Did you happen to see what he might have taken from the item shop?
No, I always try to keep my distance. I look through this scope I got on my bow here, and I try to look stuff out.
You seen what he might have taken out of the library or what he was looking at?
He never took any books with him. He always went in without anything and came out without anything. So I don't know what he was reading because I never wanted to get that close.
Do we have time to go to the library? Probably not. I don't want to die in a library because the dragon exploded.
I will let you know when you're
That's
getting...
That's not how a dragonborn goes out, to be honest.
When you're getting dangerously close to being in trouble, I will let you know. Okay. Up until that point, assume you can go wherever you want until I let you know.
How near is the library? Do we know?
It's all within this sphere. Okay. All right.
We could go find out what he's reading.
Follow me. Yeah. I'm heading there now.
All right, let's go, Henley.
You have a library card here.
Stewie, follow us.
I'm coming. I'm going to stick to the rooftops, though.
That's fine, you little
we need
ninja.
Some cover. We need
goblin
some cover.
You.
And he just scrambles up the sides of the building he came down. And then as you guys walk, you hear sort of like pitter-patter of feet as you guys go along.
Yeah, I really hope Stewie's union provides health insurance because that is not safe.
Stewie's out of the union now.
That's true. Oh,
he is.
He has been paying dues in God knows how long.
No, exactly. Yeah. He's a scab. That's not good.
All right, so...
Well, he's an independent contractor now. He's not working at the mine anymore.
That's
so
true. Okay.
He's not encroaching any union jobs at the moment. All right. So straight to the library. Do you guys want to talk on the way? Anything you want to talk about, or just want to go to the library?
Well, Henley, we expect you to use your powers of persuasion on this librarian because I'm sure they're not going to let us look at what he was looking at. So
And Henley, please, when we say powers of persuasion, we do not mean holding their nose and pouring shit down their throat.
It's not the hot sauce challenge or anything.
I may have one of those left, just so you know.
Oh, no. Let's just go speak to the librarian and find out.
All right.
So, Henley, with your knowledge of Neverwinter, since you have spent a good amount of time here, you know where the library is, and you guys head to the library. You enter this... It's in the Naga, so it's not looking like the New York Public Library. It's not this beautiful stone structure, but for the air around it, it's nice. It's a big wooden structure with big heavy doors, as almost it used to be like a fort or something that's been converted into.
You might be safe here if the dragon explodes.
But right before you enter the library, Stewie comes scrambling down the side of a wall and hands something to you, Thrace.
Before you go in the library, Thrace, take this little thing you put in your ear. I can talk to you. All right, guys, good luck in there. I'm going to go watch from the roofs. All right, later.
And Stewie scurries up back onto the roofs as you enter the library.
So I'm at the front door of the library, and I push on the door.
Okay.
And I push, and I push, and I push, and it won't budge.
Because it says pull, Henley.
Henley, you can't read.
I'm meant to do that.
Is there any point in you going in this building if you can't even read what it says on the door?
You raise a very good point, but follow me. So we pull open the door. And walk right to the circulation desk, which says circulation desk.
But in oldie script on a wooden sign.
Yeah,
right?
Totally. Okay. There's no one there, but there's a little bell on the desk.
I really want to hit it and it just be people screaming. All right. Well, here we go.
So you hit the bell and it sounds like a church bell goes off when you ding it. Above you, door opens, it slides across, it's big and round, and this giant, round, floating head with big glasses comes out and floats down in front of you.
Whoa.
And says, hello, I am Liberian Shrug, how are you?
You said Shrug? Name is Shrug.
Yes.
Oh, don't ask him how he spells it, Henley.
Why would I do such a thing? It's obvious, it's five letters, starts with an S, ends with a J.
So it's Peter?
He looks like a Guess Who character.
How can I help you today?
Well, you say Professor Shrug or just Mr. Shrug?
Librarian Shrug.
Librarian Shrug. Librarian Shrug, we're looking for a bloke named Riley. He's been coming here quite often. A friendly little gnome fella. And, we were wondering if he was here and if you knew anything about what he kind of likes to do here. And he's a friend of ours, and we kind of want to get him a nice little birthday gift. And if we knew what he was reading, it would be a good way to get a little surprise on the buggy, you know what I mean?
All right, I think you need to make deception.
What am I doing?
Rolling a d20 deception check.
Yes, sir.
A charisma check, I guess, but a deception.
Yep. 16 plus... four.
All right, a 20.
Oh, a 20.
All right. So with that 20, you see Shrug's eyes spin for a second and then relax, and a big smile comes across this giant floating face and says, well, that's very sweet of you. Riley has been in here a lot. He started just about 2 weeks ago, but he's been in here almost every day. We haven't seen him, though, for about a day. It's been a little weird. Do you want to see his reading history? Is that what you're looking for?
That would be very helpful for us to get just the perfect gift.
All right. So with her mind...
Oh, it's a woman.
She looks over... Yeah, why not? I mean, it's a giant floating head, so... This drawer opens, and a piece of paper comes out, flies over, and lands right in front of you, Henley.
All right, I'm picking it up, and I'm gonna read it.
And on it, there are four books listed: Alchemy Creation of Creatures with Great Power, Simple Potion Charms. That's one and two. The third is The Beginner's Guide to Necromancy, and four is just called Breaking Spells.
Librarian Shrug, could you give me and my comrades a moment? We might have a couple more questions, but we just want to confer for a moment. Would you mind?
Of course, and if you want to see any of the books, they're just up in Section B, second floor, a third stack on your right. And I will, I'll leave you to your business. And she floats back up into the hall and it closes. And then she says, just ring the bell again if you need anything.
Actually, could you do one more thing for me before you go? Could you just say, what does God need with a starship?
What does God need with a starship?
Thank you very much.
Thrace, watch the door.
Julie, what do you make of those?
I didn't expect those. I was looking for something a little darker, though necromancy, but just the beginner's guide. You think it'd be better? What do you think the creatures, considering we have some vampires afoot?
I mean, is he trying to make gold with the alchemy?
And protect it with some vampires?
I wrote down... Simple potato charm, but I think that might be potion.
Are we thinking Riley's deeply involved? On the side? What's your thought here? I'm confused now.
Me too. I'm just trying to think right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good time to... Jackie just actually ran out to grab Luke, so okay. We have a couple minutes to sort of like think and stuff like that.
So she's going to be back in what, like 15?
Yeah, at the most.
Okay.
Yeah. It's basically just down on Main Street in Patchogue.
Okay.
So she's going to pick him and bring him back. But, yeah, so you can think on the books and what they might mean. You can also go look at the books as well.
Right.
If you want to go look at them. Mm-hmm. That's something you can do.
Especially what might be other books nearby on the shelf. He may only have those on his list, but maybe sneaking other things to the table.
Or you could bring the librarian. Maybe she can bring the books to a table for you or something.
I think we should go look at these books. She said Section B on the third floor.
All right, let's go.
Yes.
All right, so you guys head up to the third floor of the library. It's a winding staircase with sort of off-ramps as you get to each floor. So you pass by the second. And there's a few people sort of around, but...
Are there hobos?
No hobos.
No hobos?
Well, most everyone's cleared out because their neighborhoods are going to be destroyed.
Right.
And then you get to the third floor and off, and there's basically nobody. There's nobody up here at all. And you head for Section B. And in Section B, there's a bunch of stacks, but there's a table in the middle. And the books that you are looking for, you see them moving out of the shelves and placing themselves on the table for you to look at.
Well, that was a freebie.
And you hear a voice echoing,
"You're welcome."
Thank you, Shrug.
Thank you, Lobray and Shrug.
You're very welcome.
All right, let's take a look at these here.
All right, so which one are you look at first?
I want to do this yellow one. It's something about necromancy for dummies.
All right, so the beginner's guide to necromancy. You open it, and there is a slight dog ear near the back third of the book, and the section is taking your necromancy to the next level.
Who would he be trying to raise? I thought he'd killed someone, and now he's trying to raise someone?
Maybe he killed him by accident. Pushed you hard.
Wants to bring him back? I don't know. Necromancy to me seems like nefarious reasons for raising the dead. Not just, oops, sorry, didn't mean to kill you.
Fair point.
I love, because I'm imagining this the scene in my head of you guys, which is like this really stylistic, really moody looking, like dark library with just candlelight. You know, like the sort of like the off-limits room in like the Harry Potter
thing. Yeah, so I was
thing.
About to say
that's
that,
what I was
yeah.
thinking of, yeah.
You know, and like this kind of eerie light, and it's very dramatic, and your character saying that line.
Yeah, so...
All right, well, we know he's trying to raise the dead for some reason.
Right, but also this whole alchemy creations yes. are creatures with great power.
I'm concerned about that one.
He's trying to make powerful creatures and dead people come back.
Julia, what...
Sounds
what,
scary.
You see, well, I'm rolling a investigation check to see if I can determine what pages he's been looking at or anything that's been highlighted or things like that.
Good idea. Okay.
Okay. Are you using this for the necromancy book?
Or the alchemy book.
The alchemy book. Okay.
We could also just do it the old-fashioned way where you hold it and then you just see what page it flops open to.
It's a
you know,
bloody
like in an encyclopedia.
Oh,
it was...
It's been touched by dozens. Dozens.
If it was anything like my school library, it just fell open on the page with the rude bits.
There's a really shitty band name. The Rude Bits.
All right, so go ahead, Brian.
It is a 14 plus 2, so 16.
Alexa is talking to us.
Thanks for telling me.
You're welcome.
Wow, there's all kinds of weird stuff between the dogs and Luke and that.
Yeah. Anyway, 14 plus...
2, so 16.
16. So with the 16, looking at the alchemy book, you know, the pages are obviously pretty well-worn from use being a library book, but there is one section that is pretty heavily dog-eared, and it's a section with the title Homunculus.
Homunculus!
Could you roll another investigation check so we can figure out what that means?
Well, you can do a history check to know if you just know it, because one of you guys might just
yes,
know it.
Okay.
That's
what I do. So there you go.
Well, why don't we all do that? I got a 16 now, so my history, where am I at with that? It's plus 2, so 18.
All right.
17, well, that's plus 3, so 17 plus 3.
All right.
I got an 11. wisdom and knowledge, not really
yeah,
my thing.
I'm taking your book so I can read them the passage about it so that they can know what it is.
Hitting things hard is my thing.
Yes, and you were very good at it.
Exactly.
So.
You have to be good at something.
Exactly.
Can't be good at everything.
Let's hit the books then.
Oh, that was terrible.
So as you look at the name Homunculus, there is a passage about it in this book, but both Henley and Julian know Homunculus is something that's shaped out of a mixture of clay, ash, mandrake root, and blood. It channels a rare ritual magic to create a faithful companion. A homunculus is a construct that acts as an extension of its creator, with the two sharing thoughts, senses, and language through a mystical bond. A master can only have one homunculus at a time. Attempts to create another almost always fail, and when its master dies, the homunculus also dies. The homunculus is also a very difficult thing to conjure at times. The caster has to be in deep concentration or even unconscious to make it work and happen.
Well, I've got to say, guys, I'm not really the smartest cookie around here, and I am so confused as to what the hell's going on right now. Julian?
Yes, when you were watching the door for a second there, Hendley and I were discussing just a little bit of this. What if our friend or enemy Riley got into some bad things here and perhaps I was thinking along the claw vampire area, but could he have done something untoward, causing the death?
Oh, making something?
Yeah.
Well, let's keep going. Let's look at that simple potion charms.
Let's try that. Okay. Let's check
on
those potatoes.
Do the same thing on that then.
So the simple potion charms, you can't really tell much of what's there, but in the book, you can't tell like what specifically anybody was looking at, but in the book, it's a bunch of different, it's like a love potion, a charm potion, a sleeping potion, a potion of sickness, these kind of things.
Sounds like my medicine chest.
All throughout it. that's when you can't see exactly what, there's no indication of what exactly Riley was looking at in this book.
So Henley just takes the book, throws it behind him, useless, next.
And then breaking spells. Mm-hmm. Now, did he get all these out at the same time?
He was. These are ones he couldn't take these out of the library, but he was right. He was bringing them to the reading room to look where they were, and
the
none of the books can be accessed without the librarian.
Right.
So,
Okay, breaking spells. What do we see here?
So, Henley, when you break open this book and look at it, the one section that looks dog-eared just the same as both the necromancy book and the alchemy book is something called breaking binding spells.
A binding spell. So, does it sound like Riley raised something not great and now doesn't really want to be stuck with it anymore?
And maybe that thing killed our bloke.
Yeah, exactly.
And the binding spell section, it basically talks about when breaking something that's bound to someone, an item, and how that's possible. And really it says the only way to break that bond is death. That's what it says.
That thing, that space attached to his chest, our thing.
Aha.
He must have had it bound to him.
Magically.
And he royally, I guess, magically unbound that thing from him. Not in a very nice way.
No. Probably with something he raised.
Right.
Just to make sure I'm on the right page here.
32.
Riley, we were told, is sick in his room. Couldn't get up there because of the gaggle of gnomes.
Yes.
And he could still be alive. We don't know.
Of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's sounding like our bad guy right now.
And according to Stewie, he hasn't left the room in over a day.
How are we going to... We should get back in there.
Oh, well, that's where we're heading next, I do believe.
But we have to get rid of those gnomes so that we can get in to see... Oh, I've just had a good idea. Now, I'm pretty sure that they all hate Hendley more than the rest of us, right? Because who doesn't? Everyone hates Hendley more than
I cannot deny that.
So, Hendley, how are your... do you have anything that might make you run a little faster? Possibly? Because I say you go in there and shout something extremely gnome racist at them, and then take off running. Okay, go in there and be gnomist. Take off running, and when they're all chasing you, me and Julian will try and sneak in and see if we can get up to Riley's room. Yeah. Stewie can cover you. Stewie will shoot anything that gets too close. All you have to do is run. Doesn't this sound like a good idea?
Yeah, and he's sneaky. You could sneak back around once you've lost them.
Or just keep running until they catch you, but that should give us enough time. So does everyone think that's a good plan?
Absolutely.
Yes, let's do
it. Riley is the key to this whole
Yes, me and...
Hold on a minute.
Me and Julianne have voted, and this is a democracy today, right now, and we have voted that, Hendley, this is the best plan, so yep. Get your running shoes on, mate.
Make Neverwinter great again, that's what I say.
Yes.
Right, well, I'm using my cunning action to do the dash.
Well, you get, right, in the middle of the library?
No, once we get...
All right, I'm just so preparing let's have, you. Let's, all right, no. Let's get as close as we can. There's bound to be a couple outside, but you need to get as many of them as possible to come after you in one go so that me and Julian have a better chance. So if I were you, I would spend less time looking for a dash spell and more time thinking up the worst possible thing you could say to a bunch of gnomes.
So, Jackie, I'm fucking doing both of those things.
You guys start to walk away from the books, and as you walk away, they float up in the air just as they were before, and they place themselves back where they are, and you hear, "Thank you for coming," and you start to walk down the steps, and as you walk down the steps, Thrace, in your ear, the device that Stewie had given you crackles.
Okay.
He goes,
Thrace, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, this thing's working. That's great. You guys better get out here. You guys got company.
Uh-oh.
So be ready.
Hey everybody, your Dungeon Master Bobby Shortle here. Thank you once again for listening to another episode of Adventure. Again, things are getting pretty exciting. We're marching towards the end of this arc. There's one, maybe two episodes left, depending on how they divide up when I'm done with editing them. But yeah, we're getting towards the end of this, and then we have one more major arc left before the big finale. Getting really excited about that. We've been talking about future plans for the next arc, so exciting. Once again, and always, big thanks to Justin Riley, our sound engineer and sound effects maestro. He's been doing some great work always, but these past couple of episodes, he's been really putting his all into it, adding music. It's been really awesome. So thank you. He uses BattleBards and Tabletop Audio for a lot of these effects, and you can use them too for your podcast or even for just your home game. They're really great to bring atmosphere and tension and really just a cool vibe to like an immersive world. Please, if you get a chance, leave us a review on iTunes. Even if you think that your one review can make a difference, it absolutely can. So please do it. It's really the best way to promote the show. Just a rating is great. If a review is even better. So either one, please. Please follow us on Twitter at DNDAdventure. And email us, adventure@talkingtombooks.com, to get some longer form correspondence. We have some couple of items to do in this next Treat Yourself, but we could always use more, so please send some in. Big thanks to everyone who has done that and everyone who sent in some really cool stuff and everyone who talks about the show and promotes the show. It's amazing, and a big, big thank you to all of you. But I think that's enough of my babbling for right now. We'll see you again in 2 weeks with another episode. Later.
Are they small?
They're little and they look really angry.
Oh. Well, that's gonna put a scupper on my plans.
There's three of them, and I think they got like a dog with them or something. All right. You guys better get out of here.
We got this.
All right.
Bless you, Thrace.
Thank you.
So you make your way down the stairs and towards the door to the library. Open the door, and down this long road in front of you, you see three small figures walking up, one of them holding what looks like a large dog, almost as big as... Because gnomes are about 3 feet tall, so they're pretty short little
right,
things.
Right.
The dog is just about the same size as them. They're probably 100 feet away from you, 200 feet away from you right now, and they're making their way...
It would be funny if it was down. A really vicious-looking chihuahua.
So now is your time to a plan, if you want to do that.
Our plan is...
We push Hendley out the door. He yells something rude, and they chase after him.
That's the trouble. It's only the three. We need to get everyone out of that little goblet.
Gnome.
Wow.
It's all right.
All right. So this is just three gnomes. I say we just try and incapacitate them and hide them somewhere. Because honestly, like, we need to get all of them out of that hideout so we can get in there. And if Hendley wears himself out trying to run away from three of them, it's not going
to
work.
We're not trying to kill them here.
No, but I'd say let's... do we have anything that we could just quickly throw at them and incapacitate them?
Well,
like maybe some fire.
Set them
can
up,
we
really?
Let's incapacitate them with some fire.
I could do that.
All right.
I could certainly...
Julian, set the world aflame, please.
Yes, okay. You're sure about this now?
Yeah, honestly, it's not like they like us very much. They didn't come here to say hi, did they?
All right, during your conversation, they've closed the gap. They're now about 60 feet away, and they can see you now.
Okay. Hello! Are you friendly?
We are not friendly.
All right. Flames! Flames, Julian, flames!
Yes, burning hands. Go, we'll just do the burning hands.
What's the range of the burning hands?
Wait!
What is it, Henley?
Come here. Gnomes, come here.
What do you want?
Come closer. I got some gold. I can't carry it all. I need your help.
I really don't believe you.
Look, and I reach into my sack and I grab a bunch of gold.
Okay.
And I throw it up in the air. I go, there's just too much of it.
And I have a milk bone for the dog. Here, boy.
This isn't a dog, it's a wolf.
Sorry, the wolf. Here, boy. You know what?
I got gold for the wolf, too.
No, you know what the wolf would have liked more is jerky. That's what the wolf would have liked. If we had some jerky, that would be really handy right about now.
You mean besides Henley?
It's a bloody shame, what can I say?
All right, I think you guys are probably pretty full of shit, so let's, how about we...
I'm rolling a persuasion check.
Okay. What are you, you're going to pretend that you
persuade
are...
Persuade them to come
to come towards you?
Yep, it's a 19, so plus my charisma makes it a 21.
Oh, I guess it would be a contest, though, because...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they absolutely don't believe me.
Yeah. Yes. All right, I just got to get their little character sheets here.
I got to say, to be honest, you're not the most believable, to be fair.
No. What did you roll, Rysar? A 19?
A 19.
And plus anything on that?
Yeah, plus 2.
So right. 21? That's
yep.
going to be
Henley,
a tough
yeah.
one for
and
them
Henley,
to match.
Yeah. Henley, if you manage to persuade them, then as soon as they're within range, you need to signal us.
Oh, I was thinking you could just crush their heads with a hammer.
Oh.
But that's just me.
Yeah, just send me out a signal, something like a chicken sound.
So listen to this shit, Brian.
Oh no!
They rolled a 19, and they have plus 3 in wisdom.
Oh no!
So they get a 22.
Wow!
Oh my god!
Yeah, you guys are definitely full of shit. Good try though. And let's roll for initiative, because we're in battle.
Okay.
3,
10. Plus 2.
16.
So 16, okay. So gnomes rolled an 18, so they're first. All right, so first in the order are the gnomes.
They're still like 60 feet up from us though, right?
I made a little bit of progress since you guys were bullshitting with them. let's say they're within...
I'm really sorry. I thought we were going to be able to avoid bloodshed here.
You were very well, you were very close. You did a good job. But they're within 30 feet now, so they're going to start their... they're attacking.
Just to let you know, if you start shit with us, we will finish shit with you, gnomes.
So all three of them pull back on what look like really slingshots and take aim one for each of you. So let's see, rolling a d20. That's not going to do it. That's a 3.
Yes.
Plus 4, 7, so that doesn't hit any of yours. So,
who are they targeting first?
They're targeting all three of you.
All of us.
Okay.
Three of them pull back with three little pellets,
gotcha.
And they all miss you guys. Yeah, and so they attack. The wolf snarls, but is not let off his leash, so he stops there. They do move up a little bit closer now, so they're about 20 feet in front of you folks. First in the order is Thrace.
All right, now I can move a certain amount, right?
You have about 30 feet?
Yeah, okay. So I will be using my my Warhammer.
Okay.
Because it is my absolute favorite, as we all know. I'm going to attach my Inferno Bomb.
Okay.
And I have the extra... move.
Yes, you do.
That's what. So I'm gonna go for the one on the right and the one in the middle.
Okay.
With my Warhammer.
With your Warhammer. So
yes.
You're gonna attack the one on the right first. Let's say.
Yeah.
Take a swing. 20.
Oh. 2.
Yeah, 2's not gonna do it.
I never miss normally.
Roll against the other one now.
13.
Plus your attack bonus.
Oh.
Which is your strength modifier.
Plus 4. So
17 does not hit.
So I missed them both.
You missed them both.
Oh man,
that was a good waste of that action.
Absolutely.
Next in the order is actually Stewie.
Oh,
yay, Stewie!
Yeah, Stewie.
And he's going to take a shot with his sniper bow from the roofs. He's going to try to attack the middle gnome. He rolls a 16 plus 3. That's a 19. That does it. And he does 2d8, 6, 7. 7 nice. Damage to the middle. He staggers back, but gets back up ready to fight. And next in the order is Henley.
Okay. I'm going to be using my bladed quarterstaff.
Oh, yes.
16.
Plus.
With the attack bonus?
Yeah.
4.
That's a 20. That hits.
Ooh. Okay. So that is going to be 1d6, and then I have plus my dagger I get to use. I've never used this before.
Okay.
Go for it.
No, well, I need to know the mechanics. So the 1d6 is plus my dagger, so I do the 2d4 plus 2 for my dagger.
Yeah, so what you're going to do is you're going to roll your 2d4s.
Yep.
Whatever you get from that, add the d6 to it.
First d4 is a 3. Second d4 is a 4.
Okay.
And a 6.
Nice. It's a 10. And what,
Why isn't that? Oh, wait.
What? Didn't you have a 4 and then... Oh, what were your 2d4? Sorry.
It was a 4 and a 3, so it would be 7.
Oh, sorry.
Right?
Yeah, sorry. 13. A 13. And which one are you attacking?
The left.
The left. Okay. 13. That's
sorry,
a...
I thought I said that.
You might have said that. I just don't remember it. So you take a... Actually, no, Brian, describe to me your attack on this gnome.
So, bladed quarterstaff has been in my back, pants, like, down against my leg, being held there, kind of, you know, concealed as such.
Oh,
and so I reach behind me, grab it out, and,
cut yourself on the arse?
I was gonna say that, but no, it's graceful enough, and do a nice, big, diagonal swipe with it, and cut the gnome from top right cheekbone to bottom left cheekbone.
Oh wow, that's a savage hit.
And then, kind of a poor man's Glasgow smile.
So you do some major damage to this gnome. He looks very bloody, very tired, very at the
and he won't be able to talk very easily.
No, really at the end of his rope.
Which one was he hitting?
The one on the left.
On the left. Okay.
Yeah. So the one on the left and the one in the middle have been damaged by Stewie and Henley, respectively.
Let's go, Julian. Dun 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 dun.
We have two that are nearly gone, and one to the right who's so basically untouched. Is he holding?
He's holding the wolf.
Okay. With a deep sigh, an air of imperiousness. Lightning bolt.
Okay.
Yeah. A stroke of lightning forming a line 100 feet long by 5 feet wide blasts in a direction you choose. Each creature in the line must do a dexterity saving throw.
Oh my god.
Oh my goodness. Okay. All right.
He scares me sometimes.
I know. He's a little scary. All right.
Well, you've been using that before.
I just got it. Last time
so
around.
You're aiming at the one with the wolf?
Yeah.
So both of them are...
And then maybe some, like, drifts to the other guy. It's 5 feet, after all.
Yeah, that's on the border.
Okay.
What kind of saving throw? Dexterity.
Dexterity. If you can avoid a lightning bolt.
I think I did. 15 plus dexterity plus 2... 17.
Okay.
So that yours would be... I think your spellcasting would be a 16.
This is a third level.
Yes. No, but your spellcasting modifier is still the same. I think it's 8 plus your proficiency, which is 4, right? It's 3 at this point. Your proficiency is 3. Proficiency bonus is 3. 11 plus your spellcasting modifier. So...
Is plus 3.
Yeah,
sure, if you can read any of that, you're a better man than I am, Gunga Din.
I just need to read dots. Yeah, it pulls off, spellcasting pulls off intelligence, 36 plus 8. Yeah, he got it by about 1.
Uh-oh.
So they saved. Oh, but I got to do for the wolf, too. I almost forgot about that. The wolf did not save.
Okay, he takes 8d6 lightning damage.
8d6?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Jesus!
That's ridiculous.
Does the other one take anything?
On a or half as much on a success.
Okay, so roll your 8d6s. Gonna kill the fucking dragon with this spell.
4 10. Oh,
10, yeah.
13. 14. 17. 22. 25.
So you just obliterated this poor wolf into nothing. Oh. The wolf is just dust now. And what's, I guess...
12 and a half.
12 and a half. You round up 13. The other one would be really sad if you didn't just knock him on his ass and almost kill him too with your lightning spell. So the one on the left and the right both look equally damaged, bloody, on their last legs. The one in the middle looks a little bit healthier, but still not great. And we're back around to the gnomes at this point.
Actually, I have a game mechanics question I've never asked. As fucked up as these characters are, they don't take, like... If they're down to their last bar of health, if you will,
yeah,
they still have all the same ability to hit.
Yeah, the only thing that would stop them is if they were prone on the ground or something.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, here we go. The gnomes are going to attack the...
Just with pathetic slingshots.
The one in the middle, who is the healthiest, pulls out a scimitar and makes a run right for Julian.
Because he's stupid? Did he not just see what he did?
Yeah, he just killed his wolfie, though, so he's not very happy with him.
He
did just kill the wolfie.
You practically banished it from existence.
16 against your armor class there, bub.
11.
11, so that definitely works. And you take 3 damage.
Okay. So I had, was it 24 hit points? So
yeah, so I would mark underneath it, just you have 21 remaining. But leave the 24 there so you know where the max are.
As opposed to when I was erasing it all the time.
Then the other two are going to use their slingshots and go for Thrace and Henley at the same time.
Ridiculous.
7 plus 3 against Thrace is not going to do it. And then... 6 plus 3, 9 against your armor class, Brian. That doesn't do it either, right?
No, I'm at 12.
Okay. So they both miss, and we're back around to Thrace.
Oops.
I know. I mean, honestly, after watching you guys, I feel like just sitting back and, you know, taking a break this time around. You guys are crazy. But I'm not.
It's just a pile of dust. It's a wolf.
Right. 3 wounded gnomes and a little triangular pile of thing with a tongue.
Yep.
With a tongue hanging out the side.
Right. Looks like Acme birdseed.
Exactly.
Now, since these agile little sods missed, you know, managed to duck my my mighty warhammer, I'm just going to breathe fire at them.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing. So, right. Fire breath, 15-foot cone.
Okay.
So I will aim for that middle one and try and get the other two as well. You have to make a dexterity save.
So they got a 12, so they fail.
Okay, so 2d6s.
All right, roll it up.
2 and 4, so 6.
So you do 6 damage to everybody in this little, yes, this little cone of area. The one on the left and the one on the right fall down dead in ashes. So your kind of plan of being like, oh, we're just gonna subdue them, and it didn't really work out.
I warned them before all this that if they started shit, I was gonna finish it. So that's their fault, not mine.
There's literally nothing left of 2 of them at this point.
Why would you pick on like a friggin' 7-foot tall dragon woman and a wizard who can throw friggin' lightning out of his fingertips and Henley?
Hey. You did fine this time, Henley.
Yes, I
commend you. Now, let finish this for us, will you please?
Well, it's actually Stewie's turn.
Oh, Stewie. Right.
Go on, Stewie.
So, you hear in your ear, Thrace, you hear,
Look at this cool trick I'm going to show you right now. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
So, Stewie loads up the green bullet into his gun, and you see him off on the roof. He turns from facing, looking at the gnomes, to pointing at Julian. He shoots the bullet into Julian, and it heals you for 5 hit points.
Oh!
Stewie, you really worried me for a minute. Stewie. You really, honestly, you gotta tell us when you're pulling shit like that, because I could have smacked you with my warhammer.
That was a good joke. I could have killed you all already, so it's all right.
Oh my god, Stewie, you're the worst.
All right,
I think you're up, Henley.
Finish him off, Henley.
Bobby, describe for me the one that's left, how he's looking.
The one that's left is looking like the other two were looking before they got completely obliterated into nothing. So he's looking really bad.
All right. I'm going to roll a 14.
Plus, what are you attacking with?
Oh, I'm sorry. My rapier.
I'm going to roll.
You go. I'm sorry. I was getting ready to describe what I'm about to do, and I'm like, oh, I'll wait and see if I hit first.
Okay, yeah.
So rapier.
14 plus
which
attack
is
bonus.
Four.
Four? With 18, you hit.
Oh, the damage is going to be, it's 1d8 plus 2. Oh, 2. So it's a 4.
All right. Explain to me what you're going to do.
And what I'm describing here may or may not be kosher, because I'm gonna bisect the gnome by from the crotch area upward.
Oh, Henley, you really are a class act.
So I'll say I will allow it, because that four was enough to take this last gnome out.
Oh.
So just wind up, and then from the underhand. Sword goes right between the legs and right out of the head in one fell swoop.
Very lovely. Nice.
Man, not only did you kill them, but you killed them in very, very gruesome ways. Though there is only evidence that one of them is dead, because the other ones are blowing in the wind at this point.
Can Julian do his hands of fire thing and just like get rid of the rest of that one too?
The burn spell slot to do that though.
Hey, look, he's half the gnome he used to be.
Oh, Henley.
Wow. Boom, boom, boom.
They're not the only thing that is on fire right now, right, Henley?
So the battle is over, and Stewie jumps down. Goes, guys, you guys got a lot better since last time I saw you. Got a lot of stuff going on there.
Yes.
That lightning thing was really scary, man.
Thank you. I was concerned when you shot me. But
that's a good one. But you got some heals, though.
So what bright tail does the red bullet do?
The red bullet's the kill bullet.
Okay.
So the red ones kill, the green ones.
Do you ever get them mixed up?
I'm colorblind.
I'm not colorblind, so it's okay.
I am, so that's what I was concerned. Yeah.
No, don't worry. I'll never give you this gun, so you don't have to worry about that. So, you guys spent some time in there. I'm sure you found some stuff out. Where are we going to go? We're going to go to the item shop, we're going to the tavern, or we going to the gnome hideout?
Gnome hideout, because we got to get to that Riley guy before that dragon goes. What is it? What does the dragon go?
Boom.
No, we had a word for it last time.
A poof.
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah.
I thought it was just silly. Boom boom time.
Well, it was boom boom time, but there was definitely a stupid noise for it last time.
All right, so to the goblin hideout we go. Sorry, I did it. You guys did.
So
G words. They always they get you mixed up. The gnome hideout we go. And as you're about to walk, you hear the sound of laughing that you've heard before. And it's very, very close. It's almost like it's coming from Henley, but Henley isn't laughing.
Henley, look behind you.
It sounds a little familiar, a little too familiar. And I turn around and
nothing is there, but you hear it again. And Henley, you realize it's coming from below your eyeline, kind of basically on your body.
All right, so I very quickly, crazily and haphazardly rip my clothes off.
Oh, Henley!
My shirt's torn, and I'm trying to get to my chest and see if there's some weird quado creature.
I understand you're trying to get to your chest, but did you have to show us your little peen while you were doing it?
So you remove all your clothes, your pants and everything?
Yes.
Okay, so you're really close, you're looking at your chest, there's nothing there, and then from where your pile of clothes are, you hear, "No, you idiot!"
And I just start stomping on my clothes. Just start jumping up and down on my clothes.
Friend, you can't kill someone that's already dead.
Who is this? Who are you? What is this?
So, do you want to look through your clothes pile?
Yeah, I take my shirt, I just start shaking it. shaking, like I'm trying to get dust off of it.
So when you move your shirt, you see, looking, staring up at you on the ground, the head of Carl the Black Spider, which you cut off and put on your belt when you left the cornhole cave.
That's really weird.
I forgot about him. I'm surprised the smell didn't get to any of you. I'm fine with it.
And he looks up and he's this really evil smile on his face and he says, you'll never find it, you know. So dense are you three. I can't believe you killed me.
And I just take the head and punt it across the town.